WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
Mark Rippon's first act was one many would kill for. Rippon was a two-time All-Star in the National Football League, playing for 11 seasons and for five different teams. In 1992, Rippon led the Washington team to a Super Bowl championship and was named the game's most valuable player for his efforts. If Rippon's football life was a dream, his post-playing career has been a nightmare, marked with depression, anxiety, alleged domestic violence against his wife, and by his own admission, bad decisions. One of those bad decisions was a suicide attempt, as Rippon reportedly took 150 pills and downed them with alcohol. Only his wife's quick-thinking actions, forcing him to regurgitate those pills, saved his life. Rippon, who is 55, believes that his current state, a, quote, complex stew of mental health conditions, unquote, has been caused by numerous blows he took to the head during his career. The former quarterback was the lead plaintiff in a massive lawsuit against the NFL, which claimed the league has historically withheld information about the effect of ongoing head trauma and concussions brought on by contact from football. Rippon and 4,500 other former players and plaintiffs were awarded more than $765 million. But Rippon said he and the others are still waiting for the money. In the interim, National Football League owners perhaps did something last week to prevent more cases like Mark Rippon's. In the view of some, in and out of the game, the owners' unanimous decision to penalize any player who lowers his head to initiate contact is the most impactful move since the forward pass. The ownership has not decided exactly what the penalties will be, or more importantly, how liberally they will be applied. But Atlanta Falcons executive Rich McKay, the chair of the league's competition committee, has said that every player, from quarterback to defensive back, is subject to punishment for violating the rule. Said McKay, quote, "It's one of the most dangerous techniques there is, but yet we've allowed it to creep in, and now it's very prevalent. And we need to get it out. And we're not going to get it out by saying we need to teach it better. We're going to get it out by penalizing it." Unquote. It's natural to believe that the NFL's actions are as much about guarding their precious shield, the league's logo, from future legal attack than protecting the long-term health of the players. However, the league's rulers may have had places like Maryland in mind in enacting this rule. Last month, the House Ways and Means Committee in Annapolis quashed a bill that would have barred tackle football in youth leagues on public lands until the participants reach high school age. Many otherwise well-intentioned youth league coaches aren't teaching proper tackling techniques. Worse yet, they're allowing kids to lead with their heads rather than train them to hit what they see. Perhaps the NFL's draconian approach may be just a device to filter the word down to youth, high school, and college levels. In the process, we just might see fewer nightmare second acts like Mark Rippon's. And that's how I see it for this week. You can reach us via email with your questions and comments at sportsatlarge@gmail.com and follow me on Twitter at sportsatlarge. Until next week, for all of us here, I'm Milton Kent. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the games.